Well, good morning. I'm Ryan Lenners. I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road, and I want to join with Amy in welcoming you here this holiday weekend. Now, I do want to say, who is looking forward to having the day off of work tomorrow? Am I not the only one? Even those of us in the church get our Monday off. It's fantastic. And it's to celebrate the 4th, but it's also going to be a time of relaxing, a time of just laziness. We can sleep in, we can do whatever we want, we can spend our time with our family. It's just going to be this amazing time, right? And we love these holiday weekends because days off are great. Wouldn't it be nice if every day was a day off, right? I just came back from a little vacation down to St. Louis, and I was talking with Michelle. I was like, honestly, this is really nice. I could get used to not having anything to do. I hear that's basically what retirement is like, right? Do we have any retired folks in here? I don't know. Second service, the retired folks, this is what they all tell me. I'm busier now without a job than I ever was with 40 hours a week. They manage to fill their time with all sorts of things. But back to lazy days off, as good as it sounds for some of us to have nothing to do at any time, to have nothing that's regulating our schedule, we've got to get up at 6 in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and that does sound really good. We need to understand that we were actually made by God to work. That's why, even in retirement, if you have nothing to do, you have nothing planned, you'll find yourself going a little bit nuts. We were made to have things to do, to have things to achieve and to accomplish, to look forward to plan on working on. God gave us minds that need a challenge and bodies that thrive when they are active. He literally built us to work and to not spend all of our time in bed or on the couch watching TV or in front of the computer screen or doing whatever meaningless and mindless activities that some people start spending all their time on. In fact, if that's how we spend all of our time, we sleep 12-hour days every day of the week. We spend all sorts of time catching up on the 17 different shows that we have to watch. We spend all of our time playing computer games or whatnot. Others might call us lazy. And that's actually our topic for today as we continue summer school, our series of lessons from the Proverbs. We've got a chalkboard, so that's how you know that that's what the lesson is. It's laziness. This is our third week on this, and in preparing for this message, I was actually amazed at how many verses there were that Proverbs has devoted to instructing people not to be lazy. I've got to be honest. Coming here saying I'm going to preach on laziness, I know some of you right now are like, seriously? An entire Sunday on laziness. You're right. I had that same thought. I've never actually heard a message on laziness before. I thought all back, the many years I've been in church, I've never heard a pastor speak about laziness. Which is amazing, because when I looked up laziness and the word sluggard in Proverbs and work, there are tons of verses, probably close to 24 verses, where the author of Proverbs is instructing people, don't be lazy. This is a really important thing, obviously, for this author to be, and the many people who wrote the different pieces of Proverbs, to instruct their children not to be lazy, and that work is really, really important. But my thought in wondering, well, why have I never heard a message on it? Why are you right now immediately going, oh, a message on laziness? I think it's because as Americans, we're so prone to the other extreme. We're not a lazy people. We're a group of workaholics. We work really hard. We want to always be achieving. We want to always be pursuing. So what we hear from the pulpit a lot is that we need to take time for rest and for Sabbath. And those are great messages to preach from the pulpit. I've preached that message before, but today, on this holiday weekend, I decided I'm going to change it up, and I'm going to talk about why we need to work and we need to not be lazy, okay? So remembering that we're all going to be relaxing and having a great time tomorrow, or those of us who don't have to work, today I'm going to tell you that we were made for work and why it's important to work. The best starting point I found in Proverbs about where we see this wisdom of how we're to avoid laziness is in Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 30. And that'll be on the screens. We're going to be flying through a bunch of the Proverbs, so you can keep up on the screens. But here's, I think, the best verse to put it all together. It says, I went past the field of a sluggard. And a sluggard is a name that's used all through the Proverbs to refer to somebody who's lazy. If you have the NLT version of the Bible, it uses the word lazy bones all through Proverbs. I think that's a funny way. But it's just somebody who's slow, lethargic, and doesn't do any work. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Isn't that the truth? Nobody sets out in life and says, you know what, I want to make my life a mess. I want to have a life where I don't have enough, where I'm poor, I can't feed my family, where the weeds of my life have overtaken everything that I'm accomplishing. Nobody sets out for that. Nobody says, I want to be lazy. I'm just a lazy person. I'm going to be lazy. I'm not going to do any work. That's just who I am. We understand that, right? That's just not something that anybody's shooting for. And that's why I love how it says in verse 34, and poverty will come on you like a thief. You never see the thief coming. The thief sneaks up when you're unprepared. You're not thinking about it. And that's what happens with laziness. It sneaks up on you. You don't realize that it's come into your life. And when it's all said and done, it's made a wreck of your life. You've got weeds and thistles, and the wall is broken down. And it's for this reason, I believe, that Proverbs speaks so much about the problems of laziness. It's because it can actually ruin your entire life without you ever realizing it. It can be years of living a lazy life, of just not working and doing the things you're supposed to be doing, that are wasted before you ever realize there was a problem. So today, I want to share with you some of the signs that laziness might be taking root in your life, perhaps even in unseen ways. First, as we already saw in Proverbs 24:33, our desire for rest can become a serious problem. I love that. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. How many of us, I just need to sleep in a couple more minutes. I just need one more snooze on that alarm clock. I just need to take a little nap. I just need to watch one show. I just need a little bit of time to play one game to let my mind relax. And we all know that one show becomes three shows, that one snooze becomes 35 minutes, and all of a sudden you're rushing to work without ability to do what you wanted to do. That one video game, and all of a sudden it's 2 a.m, right? It sneaks up on us. It's this excessive rest that becomes a problem in our lives and a sign of laziness. And I know it's ironic that I'm the one preaching this, since it was just a few months ago on January that we were talking about being body fit, and I said, our bodies need sleep. I said, in fact, sleep can be some of your spiritual gifts, to which many of you said, amen. You're all excited when I said, we need to sleep. What we have to understand is that there's a balance, okay? Excessive rest is a problem. When our body starts to say for the sluggard that sleep and rest are king, that's a sign that we're becoming a sluggard, okay? We can't be working, 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 burning the candle at both ends, right? That's a problem. We understand that as workaholic Americans. For some of you, that's your bigger issue. But there are others where it's rest becomes the problem. And like I said, maybe it's not just sleep that we're talking about in this excessive rest. Maybe it is the hours that you spend in front of the TV or in front of the computer. Whatever it is, it's that time that you're spending on something, this excessive amount of rest, compared to the work that's produced, compared to the time that you're helping out around your family, compared to the time that you're helping earn money to take care of your family, compared to the time that you're spending taking care of the things around you that you need to take care of. Okay, I can't tell you what's excessive rest. That's up to you to determine, but you need to decide, am I spending a lot more time on this hobby, these things that I call rest, that I really have a desire to do, more than work, the things that are important, the things that get me to where I want to be as a person and as a family. Number two, there's two verses for the second sign of laziness that I want to share with you that paint a clear picture of laziness. The first is from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. It says, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. And then in Proverbs 26:15, we got this humorous little anecdote. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. And from these verses, we see that a sluggard has the opportunities just like the rest of us. He has harvest, where the food has grown up and it's time to go gather it before winter. He has the plate of food, the bowl in front of him. But he's just too lazy to take advantage of those opportunities. The bowl is there, but he's like, oh, that's so much work. Those 12 inches, I just can't do it. So he goes hungry. Harvest. Plants grow for everybody who plants. But he sleeps through the harvest, and he misses the opportunity to provide and take care of himself and his family before the cold winter months. Okay? We have to understand, a sign of laziness is you have the same opportunities, or many of the same opportunities as others, but you miss them because you allow your laziness to keep you from taking advantage of those opportunities the way that others might. Our next sign of laziness, I want to read to you from Proverbs 22:13. Like I said, there's a lot of verses. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I'll be killed in the public square. Essentially, the sluggard makes an excuse. I can't go outside. I can't do any work. I can't come over and help you when you ask me for help because there's a lion outside. I might be killed if I leave my house. I'm going to have to just stay inside, stay in my cozy bed, do what's comfortable, do what I like to do. The sluggard makes excuses for avoiding work. You see, oftentimes lazy people attempt to disguise their laziness by making excuses for why they can't work. It's not that they don't want to work. It's that it's for this reason or that reason, I just simply can't work. And you know I'm talking about you with this point if right now you're arguing with me in your head about why your excuse is really valid. Okay, if that's what's going on, but really, Ryan, I do have a good reason, then perhaps this is something that speaks to you. You're making excuses. We all have these opportunities. We all can work. We can't just allow excuses to keep us from doing the thing that God created us to do, which is work and achieve and till the ground and make money for our family and take care of the people that we love and give back to the kingdom of God. These are all the important things of work. We can't just make excuses to avoid it and then not take part in all those things. And our final sign of laziness is described in Proverbs 28, verse 19. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. I love that image of those who chase fantasies being compared to those who work for their land. In life, there are doers and there are talkers. And while dreaming about the future is a beneficial thing, we need to have a dream and know where we want to go with our life before we start working towards it. There comes a point in our life where we have to stop talking about it, we have to stop dreaming about it, and we have to start doing. If you want to change careers, you can't just dream about, oh, it'd be great to have that new job. You have to actually go enroll in classes and get yourself an education and do the things you need to do so that you can make that switch in careers. Just talking about it doesn't do anything for you. You can't just have talk without action, that's a sign of laziness. You have the same dreams as other people. You have the same desires for where you might get to, but you never start. You just talk about it. You just chase those fantasies. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? You don't actually get down to the brass tacks and the hard work of making it happen. Now what the verse from Proverbs 24, our own life experiences, these verses that I've read to you now show us, is that when people exhibit these four traits, they are much more likely to be poor, to be hungry, to be in lack. We just generally understand that. That Proverbs 24, it talked about, I went by their field and there were weeds everywhere. They didn't have food. There was poverty. The wall was broken down. And that's what the life of a person who lives laziness, who lives with laziness in how they think about the world, that's what their lives end up looking like. And this happens to people not because God is punishing them for the sin in their life, but it's because poverty is the natural consequence for laziness. If you don't work, then you don't have food. Paul talks about that in Thessalonians. And it's just this general principle. If you are lazy, you are going to experience poverty. That's a general principle in life. Conversely, Proverbs also has many verses which point to the fact that if you do work, you'll have what you need to live and to support your family. For instance, Proverbs 10:4 says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." And now, like all the wisdom in Proverbs, this isn't a promise. This doesn't mean that if you work, that you're going to have money and have everything you need, but it is a general principle. Okay, there may be reasons that you're working and for whatever reason you're still experiencing some real financial issues in your life. Proverbs, we can never take as a promise and say, it says this, Ryan, it has to be true. It's a general principle. More often than not, those who work will have what they need. Those who don't will live in poverty. As we think about these verses on laziness, I'm sure many of you have somebody in mind who exhibits these symptoms of laziness. It's probably not you because nobody sees laziness inside yourself. But what if instead of pointing out laziness that we see in others, laziness in a strictly worldly sense of the work and life on earth, what if we looked for these signs of laziness in our spiritual lives and our work for the kingdom of God? Excessive rest. In the spiritual sense. How many of you have planned to get up early to do a devotion, to read your Bible, or to pray, but regularly found the bed to be too warm, too comfy to get out of and actually spend time with Jesus? Oh, just one more snooze. I really want to start reading my Bible in the morning. I'm going to do it. I know it's important. Oh, but it's so comfortable. And all of a sudden, we're sleeping in, and we're not making time, we're not showing the self-discipline to do the work of meeting with Jesus on a regular basis. Or perhaps you plan to read the Bible at night, but you then frittered your time away reading the news or Facebook instead. Number two, missed opportunities. Given that almost every person in this room has a smartphone in their pocket, we all have access to a Bible. We have more access to Bibles here in America than any other nation or any other time in all of the world's history. Yet, we have this meal right in front of us, and we are like that lazy bones, that sluggard, who's like, oh, it's so far away to lift that spoon to my mouth. It takes so much work to open the Bible that's in my pocket and open the app, or to grab the Bibles. Many of us have several at home, and actually read it. We have this incredible opportunity to meet with God and to have Him speak to us through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, but we don't give Him that chance, and we miss the opportunity that other Christians all over with much less they don't have smartphones in other parts of the world. They don't have all these fancy Bibles that are nice leather and all these things. But they take the time to meet with God. We miss the opportunity. And as the result, we're spiritually impoverished. Excuses for avoiding work. The number one reason that I hear and I use that most people give for not spending time with God on a regular basis or for not helping with important church ministries, I'm too busy. That's right. We actually use our lack of laziness in the worldly sense. We use our hard work, our strong desire to achieve in our worldly priorities as our excuse for spiritual laziness. God, I just can't do that because I'm so busy working over here and achieving over here that I'm just not willing to achieve here for the kingdom. I'm not able to help with the kids' ministry. I'm not able to go do this thing because I'm just too busy. I have too much going on. I don't have time to read the Bible, God, because I got to get up and I got to work. I got a 10-hour day in front of me. I got to meet with clients. I've got this meeting or that meeting and all these activities with the kids. And we actually use our hard work ethic in the worldly sense as our excuse for being lazy in the spiritual sense. Finally, talk without action. I know none of us want to be spiritually lazy. In fact, most of us have at some point or another probably made a pledge to be more self-disciplined, to commit to a small group or serving in a ministry or reading the Bible regularly. We've made plans to read the Bible with our kids maybe. Every night we said we're going to read the Bible with our kids. Or every day we're going to pray for that friend that we know is going through this terribly difficult time. But so often our plans and our hype are just that. They're plans, they're hype. I'm going to do this, we say. But it never materializes. We never follow through with it. We just, like another thing that we say we're going to do, we drop the ball. We're all talk without any action. And just like the endless dreamers of our world, we say we're going to do things, but we never actually pick up the ball and run with it. And just like a life of laziness leads to poverty in the worldly sense, and we all understand that, we see it in the people around us, in certain people, laziness in our spiritual lives leads us to poverty in a spiritual sense. We fail to thrive and experience the abundance that Jesus promised us. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father ends up stunted because we don't take the time to meet with Him. Our spiritual lives become full of weeds and thistles like sin and weakness. And while we wanted so much more for our faith, we wanted so much more for our relationship with God, years have been stolen away from us because of our spiritual sloth. And I use the word sloth here. It's another word for laziness, but I love part of its definition. Part of its definition is a failure to utilize one's talents. Sometimes we think, well, you're only lazy if you're not doing. You actually can be a person who's doing things and still be lazy. You can have a job and still be lazy. If you're working in that job, but you're not actually using your talents, you're not actually putting forth the effort to use the gifts that God gave you where you're really good, you're just going through the actions to collect the paycheck, that's still a form of laziness. If you've got all these gifts in the spiritual sense to use to build up the church, but you're too busy to actually invest those gifts God gave you, that's sloth. That's a failure to utilize the amazing God-given talents that you have, that maybe only you have in this entire congregation. If you're not using those, you can be busy doing other things, but if you're not using what God gave you, that's still a form of laziness. Laziness, that's sloth. Jesus actually tells a parable in Matthew 25 about a wealthy man who entrusts sums of money called talents to three servants. And two of the servants invest the money that the master has given them, and they yield a return on the money. But one of the servants takes the money, and he knows that he says, I know the master is a harsh man. I don't want to lose any. So he buries the money. And when the master returns, two of the servants say, Master, you gave us all this money. Here's more. But to the third servant who just digs up the money, the talent that God had given to him, the master had given to him, he says, here's exactly what you gave to me. I'm giving it back to you. And you know how the master replies in this parable here? He says, you wicked and lazy servant. See, the master is saying, you're lazy because you did not use the talent that I gave you to bring me any profit, to build anything up. And I don't want any of us to ever experience that conversation with Jesus. Our Master, who has given us countless blessings for the purpose of drawing ourselves closer to God in relationship and investing in His kingdom to help bring other people closer to God. While we as Americans may be incredible workers who are focused on accomplishment and achievement, many of us are terribly lazy when it comes to spiritual activity and achievement. And we need to take our attitude of work into our spiritual lives. We need to stop sleeping in and skipping our time of Bible reading and dialogue with Jesus. We need to stop missing the opportunities to grow in our faith because we're too lazy to make the effort to do the things that we know will help us grow in our faith. We need to stop making the excuses to serve or the excuse to maybe come to the night of prayer that we're having this week, Wednesday night. We're having a night of prayer to pray for our community, to pray for this church, to pray for ourselves. I know for many of us, we're going to say, you know what? I've got stuff going on. I want to spend time with my family. I really have this show that I absolutely love. I had a really busy day at work, and to get up and make a meal and come back out to the church, that's really hard. I understand those. They may be valid excuses. That's up to you to determine. Or is that just spiritual sloth that, oh, I just don't want to put forth that little bit of effort because I've got my own comfort, my own laziness, my own spiritual sloth inside me. We need to stop making excuses for how we're too busy to help with that ministry that maybe God has put on your heart that you feel drawn to, but you're like, God, I just don't have time. We need to stop talking about how next week or next month or next year we're going to start going to church more, reading the Bible more, giving to the kingdom more. We need to stop talking. We need to start doing. All of those things are signs of spiritual sloth in our lives. And we need to recognize it for what it is and put an end to it. Just like many of you would never want to be seen by others as lazy in life, don't settle for laziness in your spiritual lives. Don't allow your spiritual life to fall into a place of poverty where thistles and weeds overgrow every space in your heart. Use the amazing talents that God has blessed you with to bless the people around you in this church, to bless the people around you in your community, to bless your family. Use those talents. Don't just say, oh, you know what? That takes extra effort. I don't want to. Don't squander those opportunities and those gifts God has given you. Now, isn't that an amazing feel-good message for the 4th of July? I know that it's really uncomfortable for us to think about perhaps where we fall short, where laziness has taken root into our lives, but it's really helpful for us to hold up that mirror to our lives now before more years are stolen from our lives and we haven't even recognized it. But the best part of all this is that we're not alone in trying to fix this. My application to you today isn't try harder. Okay? Jesus isn't waiting for us to muster enough self-control to stop being lazy. Actually, he helps us if we ask. Here's where I will be very honest with you. Personally, I self-diagnosed myself as having spiritual sloth many years ago with the help of somebody who said, Ryan, you're just being lazy. Okay? And I took that as a wake-up call. But I realized I've been battling this for years. There are times where I do exactly the same things you do. I make excuses. I want to sleep in instead of reading my Bible in the morning because I know if I don't read in the morning, I will never find a spare moment the rest of the day. I plan for things. I say I'm going to do things to read the Bible with my boys around the dinner table or pray with different kids that are in our house. But then that talk lasts for 2 or 3 days and I stop following through. I'm just like you, okay? But here's what I've found is most helpful for me. I say, God, I don't feel like doing these things. I feel like being lazy. Help me. Draw me into you. Draw me in to have a heart that wants to spend time with you. Give me a heart that wants to read my Bible. Give me a heart that makes me want to spend time with you in prayer. I don't just say, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm a pastor, okay? I've got this all together. No, in full disclosure here, I'm just like you. But when I get there, I say, God, I can't fix this on my own. I need you to draw me in to you. I need you to give me a strength that I don't have. And then it's like a roller coaster. There's ups and there's downs and there's times where I look and I go, I'm just flat out being lazy. And I'm making excuses. And I pray again, God, draw me in. He wants us to have the self-discipline to spend time with him. That's his desire for us. So of course, he is going to answer that prayer. I guarantee you. So if this is an issue that you've heard it and you've said, Ryan, you're right. I am spiritually lazy, but I don't know what to do about it. I've worked on it or I've thought about it many times. I just don't know how to get started. I'm telling you right now, here's your starting point. Say, God, draw me in to you and give me a heart that wants to spend time on these things. He knows our flesh is weak and we will never be perfect. And that is why he gives us the strength that we need to fight our spiritual sloth and to grow closer to him. Okay, that's the point I want to leave you with today. Is take this feeling of maybe guilt that you have. Guilt is a bad thing. We shouldn't have shame. But it can also be a motivator where we see where we have imperfection in our life. And it's a time to say, you know what, I want to clean that up and I can't do it on my own. I can only do it through the Spirit of God helping me work through these things. So that's my encouragement for you today. Okay? Our life lesson from Proverbs on laziness is this. If you want a thriving spiritual life and want to be part of what God's doing on this earth, you're going to have to work at it just like you work to achieve in this world. But the rewards are so much bigger than worldly wealth. They're your salvation. They're the salvation of your family, your friends, the people in this community. When we work together, we use our talents. We use everything that God gave us to work and to achieve in the spiritual sense. We see these incredible changes in our community. And we look at that and we say, okay, God, it was completely worth it. That's why we want to be a church of people who aren't just workaholics. We don't want to be a church of people that we say, you know what, we go to Ashworth Road and we've given you a big list of checklists of things you have to do to get to heaven. But we do want to be a people who are working and achieving to see the kingdom of God come to this community and change the people's lives all around us. That's why we do what we do. That's why we can't be lazy. We can't settle for anything less.